The Bible lesson today is Acts 10:34-43, found on page 121 in the New Testament in your pew Bible, and it's found on page 157 in the New Testament of the large print Bibles. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witness to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of God for the people of God. And now if you'll turn in your hymnal to page 839, and we'll read together Psalms 118. The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation. There are joyous songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sorely, but has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of the righteous, that I might enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God who has given us light. Lead the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord who is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 through 26. It can be found on page 166, the New Testament section of your pew Bible, or on page 215 in the large print Bible. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, then we of all people are most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the story of the resurrection, probably the most important story within the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. You can find that in the New Testament of your Pew Bible on page 108 and on page 140 in the large print Bible's New Testament. Early on that first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ is risen. Indeed. Today, obviously, is Easter Sunday. And we are all fully and joyfully aware that Jesus is resurrected and has returned from the dead. But at the beginning of today's gospel story, Jesus' followers don't know that joy or that certainty at all. When you consider this story from John, I want you to think about what these people saw and what it meant to them. Each of them saw things a bit differently, and in turn, they interpreted these observations differently, whether as an individual or as a community of faith. As you consider this, I hope that you will think also about what the resurrection means to us as well, as individuals and as a community of faith. Mary Magdalene had been there with Jesus' mother Mary and the disciple whom Jesus loved at the foot of the cross. Many of his followers were probably also there too, standing at the edges of the crowd. All of these people, And all of Jerusalem, who had seen Jesus of Nazareth hanging from that cross just 3 days before, knew beyond any doubt at all that Jesus was dead. His followers were crushed with sadness and despair and discouragement. Early on that third morning, Mary Magdalene got up and she went to the cave where Jesus' body had been laid. There are differing accounts about who went with her or whether she was alone, but all versions agree that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb in the darkness of that early morning. She discovered that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran to tell Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. For Mary, the removal of the stone was clear evidence that someone had taken Jesus' body. This was alarming news for Peter and the other disciple, so they took off running back to the cave to investigate for themselves. The other disciple arrived there first, and he looked in to see the linen wrappings that had enveloped Jesus' body. And Peter, ever the bold one, went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. If you remember the story of Lazarus, you'll hear echoes here. When Jesus called Lazarus to come back to life, to walk out of his tomb, Lazarus came out with the linen cloth strip still wrapped around his body. Jesus asked the people around him to help Lazarus unwind these funeral wrappings. On resurrection morning, when the other disciple saw these linen wrappings in Jesus' tomb, he remembered having seen Lazarus come back to life, and he was convinced that Jesus had actually walked away from death. But neither Peter nor this other disciple fully understood the meaning of this scripture, that Jesus must rise from the dead. So they went back to their homes to try to make sense of all that they had seen and experienced. Well, Mary stood there dejected, weeping outside the tomb. And when she looked into the cave, she saw two angels sitting, one at the head and one at the feet of where Jesus' body had been lying. She was still convinced that someone had stolen the body of Christ. "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." But then, as she turned around, there stood Jesus, whom she believed to be the gardener. Well, just like the good shepherd who calls his sheep by name and they know him, Jesus simply said her name, Mary. And she knew him for who he truly was. Rabboni, which means teacher. Mary had just referred to him as Lord and had called him teacher. Again, an echo from just 3 days before at the Last Supper on Good Friday. Jesus has said to his disciples, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am." Although Peter and the other disciple were not sure of what they'd seen, Mary was absolutely convinced. She was looking straight into the eyes of her teacher and her Lord, Jesus, back from the dead, resurrected, and completely alive. Jesus' response to Mary may be a bit confusing. "Do not hold on to me," he said, "because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." In the theology of John, the fulfillment of Jesus' mission, his complete glorification, consists of three events that need to be seen as one unit: his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. So when Jesus tells Mary, "Do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to the Father," he is saying that he had not yet finished what he came to earth to do. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Because once Jesus had gone back to the Father, the promise that he had made to his disciples would be complete. That just as Jesus is connected to God the Father, his followers were also now connected to Jesus and to God Almighty. In returning to the Father, Jesus made it possible for his disciples and for us to share fully in his relationship with God. The factual events of Easter were these. Jesus was crucified. He died on that Roman cross, and he came back to life 3 days later. The witnesses saw the stone rolled away from the tomb, and the body was gone. We need to be clear about the story. Jesus had not yet appeared to the other disciples, but he had shown himself to Mary Magdalene. She was, in fact, the very first witness to the resurrection. The meaning of Easter is that Jesus had destroyed the power of sin and death to ever again overcome the people who believe in him, the people who follow him. This was absolutely true on that first Easter morning, and it is equally true today. Because of his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to God Almighty, all of us can share in Jesus' wonderful relationship with God. All of us can enjoy eternal life with Christ. We are people of the resurrection. Because of this, your life can have new meaning, new purpose, new direction, and new joy. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus Christ is risen. Amen.